Good morning. Wonderful to have you with us this day as we gather to worship and praise and also to eat. Hope you'll join us after church right out here in the fellowship hall. I think the best thing to do is to go out the back door and to come back in because the line goes straight through the hall here. And if we try to go this way, we're just going to run into the table. So I think head out the back and snake back around and fix your plate with us. And I'd love to have you eat with us today and share some fellowship. Lots to cover in our announcements today. Obviously, please take a look at the ones printed in the bulletin. Tomorrow night is the night for Lutheran Men in Mission. And this is the meeting of the year where if you helped in any way with the men's barbecue, come tomorrow. So not just men, but significant others, anybody that helped, please come and eat with us tomorrow evening. That's at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be right over here in the fellowship hall, so hope you'll join us for that. Obviously, there's been a tremendous impact in our state from the hurricane last week. We weren't here for worship last week, and I know that a few of you did gather and didn't get that word, and I apologize. It's extremely unusual that we would do that. We don't plan to make a habit of canceling, but just the way that things were, it was still fairly uncertain on Sunday morning, and we didn't want to take that chance. As we think, though, about the folks down east who are impacted by this, I had a lot of phone calls this week about different kinds of people and organizations that were collecting different things. You'll see I put in the bulletin that somebody asked us to participate in a drive along with Mount Tabor and First Lutheran to collect some non-perishable kinds of things. We will certainly do that for the next couple of weeks. I had somebody else call me about a fund that is being set up to buy mattresses. So if that's something that you feel compelled to contribute to, let me know and we'll get you the details on that. I will say this. The best way to help in a situation like this is to give cash. I mean, it can be by credit card, obviously, but financial help is the most nimble kind of help that we can do for several reasons. One, by the time we collect our bottled water and canned food here for 2 weeks and then get it down to where it needs to be, they may not need that kind of thing anymore. I actually saw, maybe some of you saw on the news in the last week or so, a runway in Puerto Rico where there are 20,000 pallets of bottled water, which is like something crazy like 30 million bottles of water. And it just all had to do with the timing of when it was shipped. They didn't need it by the time it got there, and then it sat outside for 8 months or something, and now it's ruined because the heat on that plastic, it gave it a really bad taste, so people don't want to drink anymore. So we don't want to make another disaster by sending things that people don't need, which is why we've got a really specific list of things we're collecting. But also, if I go to Dollar General or wherever and buy a case of water for whatever it costs at Dollar General, I don't know, let's say $2.50. That's great, but probably a relief organization could take that same $2.50 and leverage it two or three times as well as we could and go a lot farther for your money. And they can make sure they get what's actually needed and the money we give gets there and is able to be used instantly for exactly what is what's needed. So that was a long spiel. We will certainly help facilitate collection of physical things. That's a good thing too. But if you want to make the biggest impact you can, even if you're only looking to spend $7 or $8, I would direct you to do it through one of our partner organizations. On the inside back cover of the bulletin, Lutheran Disaster Response. This is not even a partner organization. This is us. This is the ELCA. So you could do that through our congregation, certainly. You could put it in the plate and designate it to Lutheran Disaster Response. You could fill out this silly little form and put a check in the mail if that's something that's helpful for you. You could also go to the link here, elca.org/disaster, that's mentioned there, and make your gifts online. A lot of people are going to need a lot of help for a long time, and the ELCA Disaster Response has a reputation for being on the ground after everybody has pulled out. These people were still in eastern North Carolina from Hurricane Matthew a year ago. These people are still actually in New Orleans subsequent to Hurricane Katrina. They're certainly still in Texas after Harvey. So it's a great response, and the monies are used really well if that's the way you want to go. Yeah, that's a good point. So if you are a Thrivent, actually you don't have to even be a Thrivent member, I don't think. Thrivent, which is what used to be Lutheran Brotherhood, Thrivent is doing donations too, and they will double any donations received. Well, they will match any, so it doubles the gift up to whatever their limit is, $1 million, $2 million. And you actually don't have to be a Thrivent member to do that. So if you're looking to give online, you can go to thrivent.org and read about how you can give through their fund that they will match to. So thank you, Tony. I believe that is most of what I was supposed to cover. I know we have a few prayer shawls. Any other announcements for the good of the community? Yes, Tina. Wonderful. Thank you. Neil, yes, sir.
Sideways to the church, if you thought the marquee people was good a couple weeks ago, that would have one of the people in this other charity. And all you have to do is buy chicken, you don't have to work.
Don't have to work at all. Just buy some chicken. Yeah, and the Lions Club is very good to support us by letting us use their facilities, so be good to support them if you can too.
I don't have tickets, but I have the station.
Okay. I bet Mr. Beck might have some of those, and maybe Mr. Curry too. I don't know, but I bet some of us have some. I know we have some prayer shawls this morning for hospice and at least a couple of thank you notes.
Yes, if you'll bless these are all going to go to hospice. So, and then I have a couple prayer shawls. Dear HDLC, thank you for the scholarship. It has been a huge help with buying books for school. Thank you all for your love and support during my time at UNCC. Hope you know how much it was appreciated. Lindsay Black. And this says, with gratitude, dear Mrs. Kepley and Welka, thank you so much for pulling together our family meal after my mom's passing and serving us with such kindness and compassion. We all appreciated it so very much. Sincerely, Karen Power and family, which that is the daughter of Lib Gerald Dietrich. Oh, you don't want that. And this one says, thank you so much. May God bless your heart for blessing mine. Thank you for the scholarship. It was greatly appreciated. I bought books for this semester. Sincerely, Jay Proctor. One other thing, Agape Friends would like to present this picture to Pastor Matt, his first confirmation here at Holly Grove. And so we framed you a picture that you can either put in your office or at home, wherever you would like.
I think I recognize this guy.
You recognize that guy? Great, thank you so much. And we're going to get one for out here too, maybe?
It's already
out there. Oh, okay. I was hoping I would make the wall out here one day on the confirmation pictures, and finally we're there. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Other announcements this morning. We wish happy birthday to John, Briar, Kevin. Victoria's birthday was yesterday, and we wish happy anniversary to Jeff and Julie. Is there anybody else we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One other thing I'll add to the announcements this morning is that I heard this morning that Johnny Curry went to the hospital this morning, and I don't know a whole lot other than that yet, but we'll pray for him today. Please keep him in your prayers. We stand as we begin our worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Rise, please, the light.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated if the children will join me up here for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Come on up this way, guys. Hello. Hello. So in our reading today, Jesus and his disciples are on the way somewhere. You guys ever drive around like in your car, like you're on the way, you're going somewhere, and you're not really where you want to be yet, you're just going there? They're on the way like that, and they're talking while they're on the way. And Jesus' disciples start talking about, man, it's going to be so great to follow Jesus around, and they start talking about which one of them is the greatest. They're just so happy about all the cool things Jesus is going to do. And Jesus says to them, hey, wait a minute. Like, we're going to do some cool things, but sometimes there's hard work that needs to happen too, okay? And Jesus tells them part of what Jesus came to do was to work hard for people to suffer, to die, and then be raised. Have you guys heard this story before, that Jesus is going to come to die? Have you heard this? I'm going to tell you this story in case you haven't heard it. We talk about this story a lot of times near Easter, but it's the story that that's the whole reason we're here any day of the year, so we're going to tell it today. Jesus and his disciples are eating dinner, and it's the last dinner they get to have together, and when they get up, they go into a garden. These aren't, this sort of is not a great picture of a garden, but they get together out in this garden, okay? And then one person who had been following Jesus around, his name was Judas. This is him right here. That's Judas, and this is Jesus in this picture. You've got Judas and Jesus. Judas comes up to Jesus, and he kisses Jesus. And the reason he does that is not because he's glad to see Jesus. He kisses Jesus because he had told some other men, the person that I kiss, that's Jesus, and you can take him away and lock him up in jail. So that's what these men do. They take Jesus and they lock him up in jail. And they're not nice to Jesus. They say mean things to him, which is what this man is doing in this picture. And eventually, you know what happens? They put Jesus on this cross right here. Can you see that? They put Jesus on this cross and they kill him. He dies. And that's a really, really sad thing. But then something amazing and incredible happens, something that's not ever happened before. There are some women who are going to go to Jesus' grave, to his tomb, to see his grave. And they are going, and when they get there, they find something really, really strange. This is another picture of that tomb. The women get there, and the tomb is open, and it's empty. Jesus isn't there, and there's an angel sitting there in very bright white clothes, and the angel says to them, Jesus isn't here, he's alive, he's been raised from the dead. And that's the amazing story that we tell, not just at Easter, but every Sunday, that Jesus, who was killed and who suffered and who died, did not stay dead, but God raised him back to life, and through Jesus we have life. That's a story that we need to tell a lot because it's confusing and it's hard to understand what that means, but that's the story of us as Christian people who follow Jesus, as people who believe that Jesus did not stay dead, but that God raised him, and that means that we have life too. It's an amazing story. It's a confusing story. So if you don't get it all yet, that's okay. Your parents can talk to you about it more, and I'm going to keep talking about it as much as I can. But the amazing, amazing thing is, with God, we have life, just like Jesus has life. And that is such a wonderful thing. We then use our lives to help other people. That's what it's all about. Will you guys pray with me as we think about this story? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for giving him life.
Thank you for giving him life.
And giving us life.
And giving us life.
Help us to help other people.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for coming to Children's Church and listening to that story with me. If you have questions about that story, you can talk about it with your parents. You can go back to your seats, or you can go to Children's Church right over here with Miss Tina.
The first reading is a reading from Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me, that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 54 and will be read responsively. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might.
Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For the insolent have risen against me, the ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them, Selah.
But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will repay my enemies for their evil, and your faithfulness put an end to them.
With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. The second reading is a reading from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We stand.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia. You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. On the internet, and not come out for hours if you want to. And one of those places is this whole genre of YouTube videos where parents catch their child in the act of misbehaving, and then they ask this kid what they've just done. And the parent, you see, knows from the beginning what's happened because the little boy is covered in chocolate from head to toe, and the dad says, "What have you been doing?" "Nothing." "Have you been eating chocolate?" "No." "Where did my chocolate go?" "I don't know." Maybe my brother ate it, right? There's a whole genre of these. You can see it with chocolate or with paint that's just dripping from children and all over the refrigerator and all over the walls. You can see the dog who's been had a stripe shaved all up and down his side, and there's dog hair all over the floor of the little boy's room, and he just says, I don't know, maybe our neighbor came over here and shaved the dog. So sometime when you need to just get out of your reality for a moment, check that out. What makes these videos so hilarious is that every single time the parent knows full well exactly what's happened. They already know, and that's why they ask the question. We don't have a video of it to prove it, but essentially this is what Jesus is doing here in the Gospel of Mark. He asked the disciples, hey, what were you just arguing about on the way? And he asked them that question because he already knows full well exactly what they were arguing about. They were arguing on the way about who was the greatest. And this is every bit as ridiculous as saying you haven't had any chocolate when your face looks like you just won a no-hands pie-eating contest. But in a departure from the YouTube parenting videos, Jesus isn't so amused by what is happening here. He's not amused because this is actually exactly the opposite of the point that he's been trying to make to the disciples for a while now. He's literally just been telling them that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands and they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again, which admittedly is a lot to take in. But it's not the first time that Jesus has told them about this. If we go back one chapter to Mark 8, the gospel reading that we would have heard last week if we'd had church here, Jesus is saying about the same thing. This time, Peter has correctly identified Jesus. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter jumps right in there, the Messiah, and he's got it. But then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days to rise again. And Peter does not like this talk about suffering. He rebukes Jesus. And that's what prompts Jesus eventually to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Both in that encounter and here in this text we read this morning, the disciples have this idea in their heads that their Messiah is coming to make Israel great again. You know, come in and kick the Romans out of there and get back to the good old days when David was their king. And as the disciples go on the way with Jesus, they just can't help imagining this future, slipping into this conversation about who's going to be the greatest. But Jesus has a drastically different way of thinking about greatness. What exactly is it that makes one great? By extension, what would it be that makes a church great or a nation great? It's a relevant question, right? Jesus spells it out here for the disciples and for us. He says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and a servant of all." And then Jesus takes a little child and puts it right in the middle of this group and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." It's not about children being innocent or cute. Children in Jesus' day were the lowest rung of society. Eugene Boring, who's an expert on the Gospel of Mark, whose book sits on my shelf over there, he said it this way back in 2006. It was the first century Mediterranean world. The characteristic feature of children was their lack of status, their lack of legal rights. Boring says, "Jesus is not teaching a lesson about being childlike, but speaking to the issue of status." So in this conversation the disciples have been having about who is the greatest, Jesus introduces this idea that this child is who they should welcome. Not somebody who would bring them honor by having them in their house, hosting them, but children with no status, people with no standing. Whoever wants to be first must be last and a servant of all. And this isn't just talk from Jesus, is it? Because having this conversation on the way, you know where they're on the way to? It's Jerusalem, where Jesus knows that what is waiting for him is the cross. For Jesus, greatness is not about personal glory, security, or power. For Jesus, greatness is about self-denying love that serves others. And Jesus proves that it's more than just talk. He goes willingly to Jerusalem. He bears the cross for the sake of redefining power and defeating death. And in doing so, he opens for us the way of eternal life. Eternal life, kind of a big deal, right, for us? I mean, we could argue compellingly, I think, that sacrifice on behalf of others is worthwhile in its own right. But Jesus doesn't just call us to sacrifice and putting ourselves last. He also promises new life, eternal life. Take up your cross and follow, which is what he told the disciples in that lesson from last week. Take up your cross and follow by itself. That's a pretty sobering call. But Jesus's call, the call of our baptisms, is not simply to death, even if there are things worth dying for, but to good news of new life in Christ. New life that sacrifices for the sake of responding in loving action to a needy world. And if sacrifice doesn't sound so great to us, consider this that I read this week from preacher and writer David Loess. He says, "What if we imagined that greatness wasn't about power and wealth and fame and all the rest, but instead we measured greatness by how much we share with others, how much we take care of others, how much we love others, how much we serve others? What kind of world would we live in if that's how we measured greatness? Can you imagine if people were regularly trying to outdo each other in their deeds of kindness and service? What if there were nationally broadcast competitions to see who was willing to be the last so that others could go first? If there were reality TV shows that followed people around as they tried to help as many people as possible, what kind of world would we live in?" Loess says, "I don't know about you, but I think it would be a pretty great world." What does it look like for Holly Grove Lutheran Church to be great? It's not about higher average attendance, more money in the plate, or an abundance of younger families in the pews. It's loving service to others. That's what comes straight from Jesus. What does it look like for me to be great? For you to be great? For the United States of America or any other nation in this world to be great? It's not about higher stock holdings. It's not about more influence or bigger bank accounts. According to Jesus, being great has to do with welcoming the child, the one with no status or legal rights. According to Jesus, it's about being the servant of all. Being a Christian is about following Jesus, living into the values of Jesus, serving, sacrificing on behalf of others, and especially on behalf of those who are vulnerable. So at some point, we have to either decide that we don't actually want to follow Jesus and be Christians, which is a choice we could make, Or we have to make it our business to be about the things that Jesus was about. Being great for people in need. Amen.
Please join in reaffirming our faith through the Apostles' Creed found on 217 or on the screen. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, you gather congregations together by the power of your word. Bless leaders with the gifts of wisdom and discernment as they seek to make your church the community for which you long. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creative God, in this corner of the world that you made, flood waters are still rising in some places. Banks are overflowing. Crops are washed out, and people and animals are suffering. Have mercy, Lord. Bring relief. Move us to care for all in need and to be mindful of how our lives affect your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sovereign God, you raise up governments to protect the widow and the orphan. as we again near election season, bless citizens with wisdom and discernment as they choose leaders, and inspire leaders to always seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you desire health and wholeness. Reconcile the conflicts and disputes among us. Teach us to heal the trauma of poverty and racism. Make us great, Lord, in service to others. Break our hearts open to all those who suffer, to all those who mourn. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, Johnny, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, and all those we name now.
Bridget and the family of Zach.
Family of Roy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Welcoming God, you place children among us. Teach us to honor the children in our midst and to pay attention to what they can teach us about who you are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
gracious God, we give thanks for the fellowship and for the food which we are about to receive. Use them, Lord, to strengthen us for service in your needy world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing one more hymn, then come join us for lunch.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.